Scripture reading this morning is from Psalm Incomplete 146 from the New International Version, Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There's no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth, and all their plans die with them. But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. He will be your God, O Jerusalem, through the generations. Praise the Lord. And let us all say, praise the Lord.
Amen. And good morning. And just before I get started here, I just have to make one thing clear. I know there's been a farewell potluck planned on August 7th, and I will definitely be there. But my wife and children will not be. Because our place has sold and possession date is before that, and so they're going to be moving up to the Okanagan probably on the 28th of July, which is a Thursday. So if you want to say goodbye to my wife or my kids, you will need to say farewell to them between now and then. So I'm just going to give you a heads up on that. And now, on to the real thing, which is, can I get a show of hands? I need to see a show of hands of how many of you spend significant amounts of time talking to yourselves. All right? Okay, so I need a show of hands of people who spend significant... So if you spend, let's shoot high. If you spend at least an hour a day talking to yourself, raise your hand. All right? Good for you. Awesome. And for those who don't talk to yourself, it's time you start. Because this is exactly what the psalm read to us this morning is asking us to do. The psalm starts with the command, praise the Lord. And this is not unusual, especially for a psalm, considering that the word for praise in Hebrew in the Old Testament occurs almost one-third of the occurrences happen in the book of Psalms. And most of those happen within this command to praise the Lord, which is where we get the word hallelujah from. That's what the word is. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. So this is not unusual. What is less expected is the second line of this command, of this psalm, where the command is repeated, but it's repeated in the singular, so it's being said to one person, and then that person is named. It says, praise the Lord, my soul. The psalmist is talking to himself. And I like the way the preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones would describe psalms like this one, because this is not the only one. He says that it's as if the psalmist is calling us to hold our hand out, and then imagine ourselves standing in our own hand. And then take the words of the psalm and preach them to ourselves. The psalmist is asking us to talk to ourselves. Why? Well, because the psalmist recognizes, I believe, that although his own soul, his innermost being, should be praising the Lord, it is not. And I think we can all relate to that. I think most of us can relate to the experience of knowing in our minds that we should be praising our God, but then looking inside of ourselves and just not feeling it. We know our heart should be in it, but it's not. And a lot of the time, we just don't even know what to do about it. Now, one of my favorite discoveries, I should say, about learning to read the Bible in the original languages is finding out kind of odd phrases that don't get translated, right? And one of these is, you know, we hear the phrase, their hearts were dull or their hearts were hard a lot. But most of the time when the Hebrew and Greek is translated, the actual words are their hearts were fat. Yeah, their hearts were fat. We know we should be praising the Lord, but our hearts are fat, unresponsive blobs within us. Love that image. That will stick with you. Yes, there are times, I believe, when even the brilliance of the Lord's power and grace and love can cause these fat hearts of ours to praise. But I think you might, I believe you'd agree with me that often that's the exception rather than the rule. When we know, as Christians, praising the Lord should be our day-to-day experience. So that brings up the question, why do we struggle to praise the Lord day in and day out? Why don't we just naturally praise the Lord all of our lives? Why? Because of Donald Trump. Wait. The reason our hearts are fat and unresponsive towards God is because we believe that a human being, someone like Donald Trump, has power to ruin the world, while we fail to believe that the Lord our God has power to redeem it. But I've got good news for you. All of Donald Trump's plans will come to nothing. And also all of Hillary Clinton's plans will come to nothing, too. As we read in Psalm 146, verse 4, when their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Or if I can answer this in a more general way, the question, why do we struggle to praise the Lord day in and day out? We struggle because we're looking to short-term answers for long-term problems. We're looking to creatures for our salvation rather than to our Creator. So after teaching us to command ourselves to praise the Lord as long as we live, the psalmist, the one who writes this psalm, identifies the thing that has gone wrong within us, the thing that keeps us from sincere and sustained praise of the Lord. And that is that since Adam and Eve fell in the garden, all human beings have had this illogical and twisted desire to pursue what other human beings have to offer as if it were salvation, as if it could sustain us and provide for us. Listen again to verses 3 and 4. It says, "Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing." This psalm was inspired by God for every single person to directly say to themselves as individuals. And the only reason why every one of us as individuals would need to hear the command to not trust in human beings for our salvation is if we are actually trusting in human beings for our salvation. We put our hope in politicians to make our world a better place, or at least not mess it up, right? We put our trust in celebrities to make us laugh and bring us joy, or help us express our grief and sorrow, or show us the most rewarding ways in life. We put our trust in experts to tell us what to do when things go wrong, or to train us so that we never make mistakes, because humans never do, right? We put our trust in doctors to heal us of our diseases and spend billions on research every year. We put our hopes in human lovers, that special someone, the one, who will somehow take away all our loneliness and stay faithful to us forever. And as churches, we put our hope in finding perfect pastors and perfect leaders.
Amen, brother.
But every one of those people will die. And their plans will come to nothing. A human being is a short-term answer to a long-term problem. A human being is a creature, not the Creator. Human beings cannot bring lasting peace. They cannot guide through life. They cannot truly heal. They cannot satisfy your loneliness. They cannot do the work of God. Human beings cannot save. As alluring as their promises of love and life may sound, they will all die and their plans will come to nothing. Brothers and sisters, when God called me here 6 years ago, I had plans for Olivet Baptist Church. But praise the Lord, all of my plans, and I can say this sincerely, came to nothing. And what happened instead was that I got to see some of God's long-term plans for you take shape in place of my own plans. And these are the things that I will always remember and treasure whenever I think of you. All these things are God's plans. And so we must remember, brothers and sisters, not to put our trust in human beings, for their plans will come to nothing. Instead, we are instructed to trust in the Lord, as we read, starting in verse 6. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed, and he gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Olivet Baptist Church, for all generations. Praise the Lord. The Lord is the maker of everything, and therefore he has power over us. We do not have power over him. He is able to direct the course of history in all of its complexity to his desired goal, the goal he has set for it. And all of his plans then are guaranteed to come to pass, no matter how contrary things may seem at the time. But this doesn't negate the fact that other people will certainly offer you other options than his. Options that promise quick fixes, with little or no need to wait patiently or suffer in the meantime. But every human promise will come to nothing. Only God's promises will come to pass in the end. And this brings us to the main point of the psalm, which happens right in the middle. Psalm 146, verse 5, where it says, "Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God." Those who hope in the Lord and wait for his help, they and they alone can truly be called blessed. Now, I think it's important to note that the Hebrew word that's translated blessed here is actually different from the one that's usually translated as bless. The most common word for bless in Hebrew comes from the root barak, but this word comes from the root ashar. And although we use the same word in English to translate these two words, the word bless, those who actually first translated the Bible into Greek, into what we call the Septuagint, chose to actually keep them as two separate words and use two separate Greek words. And they did so for a good reason, because the words do have a significant difference in meaning. Unlike barak, the word that you usually hear, the word ashar, which is found here, is never used on the lips of God. It is never used by God to bless others. And it is never actually also used on the lips of humans to bless God. So when we sang this morning the song, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," which comes from another psalm, that word is barak. It is not ashar, the word found here. Moreover, barak is a blessing that can be and often is given to others without them having to do anything to deserve it. So when God blessed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, he was not indicating in any way that they had earned the right to be able to procreate. That was a gift that God gave to Adam and Eve and to us as human beings. In stark contrast, however, the word ashar, that's translated as bless here, is always used only for people who have done something to deserve it. Another then, perhaps more accurate way of translating verse 5 would be, "To be envied are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God." What is being stressed is not that there is something more to come for those who have made the God of Jacob their help and hope. What is being stressed is that those who have made the Lord their help and their hope are already in a position that everyone else should envy. As Victor Hamilton summarizes the difference, barak is a benediction, whereas ashar is more of a congratulation. Ashar indicates that you have done something that has now put you in a position that those who are not in your place should envy, and that everyone who looks at you should congratulate you on having arrived there. Brothers and sisters, when you make the Lord your help and hope, and for all those who have put their trust in his plans and his ability to save them, you are in the most blessed position that any human being can be in. You're in the most blessed position. Why? Not because you'll have the most health and wealth or intimacy or fun than those around you. Quite the opposite. In order to trust in the Lord, you'll need to be willing to give all of that up. Jesus' call is that we must deny ourselves, take up the instrument of our own death, the cross, and follow him. And there is no one out there who envies that. No one. The reason why you are blessed and should be envied is because the hopes and dreams of everyone who does not trust in the Lord will come to nothing. There may be brief periods of time when it seems like those who do not trust in the Lord seem to have it all, but they will die and their plans will come to nothing. But you who do trust in the Lord and wait for him to save you in his time and his way, your hopes are guaranteed to come true. Because your hope and help is the Lord your God, and he alone is faithful forever. You are blessed, and you are to be envied. For as Leslie Allen puts it, whereas the current creaturely rulers of the earth plan and resolve, our Lord and King performs and achieves. The Lord reigns forever. And when you know that your willingness to hope in the Lord and wait for his help, to wait for his salvation, puts you in this blessed position, then you will never cease to praise. If you know that's where you are, that you are being carried by the providence of God, you will never cease to praise. So we should tell ourselves this and tell it often. We should talk to ourselves daily and say, I will not trust in a short-term solution for a long-term problem. I will trust my Creator for my salvation, not in any creature. For having done this, I am now standing in the family of the most blessed people on earth, because my future is guaranteed to be glorious. And for this reason, I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Now I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward, and we're going to sing praise to our God in just a minute. But before we get there, I want to tease out one more practical application of this text. And it is simply this. Please stop telling yourself or telling others to follow your dreams or follow your heart. Please stop telling yourself and telling others to follow your dreams or follow your heart. The life of a Christian always has been and always will be about striving to give up our own dreams and our own plans for our life, and to take on the dreams of our Lord and Savior, to figure out what's on his mind and his heart, and to submit to what he has for our life. We do ourselves and others incredible damage when we encourage them to look to their own ideas and desires, to look inside themselves to figure out who they are and what they should or shouldn't do. We should pay attention to our thinking and desires, what goes on inside us, absolutely. But what goes on inside us should never be used as Christians to define who we are or what we should or shouldn't do. We need to take seriously the command not to trust in human beings, and this includes trusting in ourselves. And I think for our culture, that is the idol. To trust in ourselves, to look inward, to figure out who we are and what we're called to do. Instead, we are called to look to the living God who still speaks through his word. He alone is the one who can tell us not only who we are, and this is the important point, more importantly, who he is making us to be. Because that is what defines you. Not where you are right now. That does not control your destiny, who you are, or what you should do. You are being made into the image of Jesus Christ, and that is what guides and controls your destiny. And you must always look to him and seek to submit to who God is and be fashioned into his image. Because he alone is not only the model for who you to be, he is the only one who can bring you there. God is the only one we can trust to guide us and to give us what we need to inherit the great salvation that does belong to us as his followers. So again, don't follow your heart. Follow the Lord's heart. For your desires will come to nothing, and there's nothing you can do about that. But his desires will come to pass, and he will bless you in ways that will blow your mind. And you and I will never, ever cease to praise the Lord.